God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers, he didn't wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. My name's Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. We don't always dig straight into news cycle stuff here. In fact, a lot of the times I want to step back and just think about what would God consider to be the top story. And in my mind, the top story is that redemption is still that is there for the taking. The Lord Jesus is knocking on the doors of people's hearts. If they answer and invite him in, he will enter and he will live in them through the presence of the Holy Spirit if they allow it. I have to believe that's the top story because of what God has done to enact it. And of course, we remember that at Christmas season, Christmas. I would far rather talk about the Word of God on a consistent basis. I'd far rather just preach, honestly, but I'm not qualified to do it. I went through a pastoral residency program focused on disciple-making. I'm more qualified than I used to be. But sometimes the news cycle calls to be discussed, and that is one of our responsibilities here. In fact, that's, of course, how anybody who knows my name in radio got to know me, is a guy who just talked about the news cycle. But to divorce the news cycle from God is folly. In fact, it's to look a gift horse in the mouth. It's to ignore what God is doing for us. He does allow people like figurehead Biden to run this country. If he didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't. Yesterday, I ruminated on Romans 13. I ruminated on when the government lies to us so viciously, such as hiding from us the actual truth about the COVID injections and who knew what and when, and they intend to continue to push this modified RNA platform on people. If we're going to save lives, would it be, well, permissible for a hacking group to go and get that information? I got such great feedback from this audience in this. I'm so blessed to have you guys help me stay on track in terms of Romans 13. It's a dangerous thing to play games with God's word. I certainly didn't mean to do that. Said that yesterday when we talked about this. I meant to start a conversation as I was wrestling with God, so frustrated about this administration. And I'll share some of the letters we got on that later because they are so loving and so good and so spot on. But I do want to talk about the news cycle. I want to talk about the man that we're told we're to refer to as President of the United States. It's a little hard to hear the question. Reporter asks, "Can you explain why you interacted with so many of your son and brother's foreign business associates?"
President Biden on Ukraine and also China. There's polling by the Associated Press that shows that almost 70% of Americans, including 40% of Democrats, believe that you acted either illegally or unethically in regards to your family's business interests. Can you explain to the Americans, amid this impeachment inquiry, why you interacted with so many of your son and brother's foreign business associates?
I'm not going to comment on that. I did not, and it's just a bunch of lies.
You didn't interact with many of their business associates?
I did not. There's lies.
I'm not going to comment on that, says figurehead Biden. I'm not going to comment on that. Then he comments on that and says, they're lies. They're lies. And the anger in his voice, and in fact, the anger of his body language, indicates not confidence, not even anger. It indicates a man who is well understands the fact that he's lying, but also understands the fact that he can no longer control the press. Now, that has to be frightening when they have, in fact, the government has allegedly, there's a new lawsuit, the Daily Wire and others have filed a lawsuit against NewsGuard and the government. NewsGuard is an organization that contends to monitor news sites to make sure they're on the up and up. It is apparently one of the many companies that chose to become a joint state actor. That means something. It is illegal for the government to hire companies or to cause them or threaten them, push them, prod them into doing what government can't. Government doesn't get to censor news sites, but according to this lawsuit, that's exactly what they did. The State Department worked with NewsGuard to censor, to block, to ban American news sites that lean conservative or are purely conservative. What Biden is saying there with his body language is all the efforts to hide this has gone astray. All the efforts to hide this have gone to none, to nil. It didn't work. It can't work. You're going to hide some things for a while. And you might hide them for your lifetime. But number one, God sees everything because God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Number two, God shares with us the fact that what is whispered in the dark will be one day shouted from the rooftops. And the Bible tells us consistently about bribes. The figurehead Biden says it's lies, it never happened. Okay, let's look at some of the things that we know. We know that Hunter Biden and Biden, figurehead Biden, when he was vice president and in the Senate, we know that they had common calendar events. We know that the notes were that Biden was going to meet with his son's business associates. We know that there were phone calls. We know that the figurehead Biden bragged about getting the prosecutor who was looking into his son fired. He bragged about it. We know that there were consistent payments going from one of Hunter Biden's bank accounts to the figurehead Biden, albeit in small dollar amounts, $1,500, $1,300 a month, nothing for the $50 million that Biden has gained over time. But we know that. We know that there were bigger checks written to the figurehead from his brother, James. We know that James has no background in big construction projects, but somehow ended up running a construction project for the United States military, the Army, I believe, in Iraq. We know that James was saying that these were debts or that these were loans to Biden. Were they paid back? If so, did anyone declare the interest? We know that Hunter Biden bragged about the fact that he could get his dad on a phone call in a moment's notice. These are things we know. We also know that Joe Biden doesn't make anything and doesn't sell anything other than getting paid $1 million to pretend to teach at a university, for he never taught a class, and that in and of itself is a bribe. We know that Biden doesn't make anything that anyone wants to buy, including his book, which barely sold. And yet we know he's got a net worth of about $50 million. We know that he had a web of 26 LLCs or so. The only reason you have 26 LLCs is to create complexity. We know that needless complexity is the tool of a scoundrel because it's easier to hide your scams within complexity. These are all things we know. They're not in question. The biggest question for the United States of America on a temporal basis is which policies is Biden being caused to enact because he is owned, because he's taken bribes? The Bible, Exodus 23:8. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverses the cause of those who are in their right. Proverbs 15, verse 27, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. Do you think the Biden family is a troubled household? Proverbs 17, 23, the wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. And you'll forgive me if I don't remember the actual scripture and verse, but I will say this. When the wicked rule, the people groan. What is the state of the nation's emotions around this country? About 72% of Americans say that the country's on the wrong track. That sounds a lot like groaning. I think it qualifies. So Biden can say it's lies. He can act angry towards the camera, but it doesn't come across as angry to me. It comes across as defensive and desperate. And to Joe Biden, for whom I have to have empathy. I do. somewhere in that blank-faced, pale, mentally decrepit flesh, somewhere there's a soul. And that soul is begging on its knees to not spend eternity divorced from God. The soul knows. And I think that's also the desperation. I wonder what it would be like if Joe Biden confessed. Can you imagine? No. Imagine with me that Joe Biden, and I'm not wishing this on him. I'm not. But if Joe Biden were to say, a dread disease, and I'm not wishing this on him. If that happened, can you imagine what would occur if Joe Biden said, I confess. I did it. Our family business was bribery. It was wrong. And here's who I took money from. And here's what I was told to do. And I had a dream. And God spoke to me and he said, you used to believe in me. You were brought up to honor me. When did that go away? Was it when the sexual affair began with the babysitter? Because it sure looked like the sexual affair with Jill began when she was the babysitter. No decent man, married man, or any other man who's decent, has the teen babysitter sitting on his lap. Was it then that it began? God knows when it began, but can you imagine if Biden confessed in front of all of us? I gave in to fleshly desire. Father God, forgive me. Forgive me. And what if the man that we're supposed to call president wept and truly repented right in front of us? I think a lot of us would weep with him. I think we'd stand or sit or fall to our knees, open mouth, gaping. Imagine the DC press corps. Imagine his staff. I would see them, half of them screaming, press, 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 that's the end of the conference. Press, 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 that's the end of the conference. Half of them looking at their reflections in the glass of the teleprompters, in the glass of the windows, thinking, I've done it too. I must confess, I've done this too. I can imagine throughout Washington, D.C., other powerful people who are so clearly compromised watching Biden say this and feeling in their hearts, oh, I should say something. I think about Nancy Pelosi, who's so clearly gotten her wealth through thievery and through insider trading. It's not that I don't believe that's bearing false witness. I don't believe it's wrong to speculate. I think we can look at her trading record. That's what her trading record indicates. I think we could see many people respond in tears. What would it be like? Well, people hearing this, why don't we go first? People who've done these things, what if we made a habit of it? The other day in my men's group, I just happened to say that my wife and I have had some marriage problems. Some real challenging times. Our marriage hasn't been great the past few years. Just happened to say it. It's so funny the way it just came out. Things have been far better lately. I received a message in a sermon about coming under and lifting up. Biblical manhood. I'll talk about this towards the end of the show. The sermon, not the marriage thing. But I've noticed something. Since I confessed that to my friends, things are so much better. It's almost like Satan lost a hold on me. Maybe it was pride. We'll come back on The Disciples' View with a woman getting kicked out of her yoga facility because she didn't want a man staring at her naked body. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who switch light for darkness. Woe, the sense of overwhelming grief, sadness. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. What a great way to start a segment. That'll cheer people up. And that's the voice of optimism. We are also, of course, to have a defense for our optimism. God tells us that we need to be able to explain to the world that, yeah, on this show, we talk about things that are messed up. We try everything we can to provide solutions to that, mostly grounding ourselves in God's word and gaining the tools of actually, what are the tactics of taking things captive to Christ? Well, one of my favorites is to reflect upon the fruit of the Spirit. Am I feeling it around this person? Do I see it? Or reflecting on what we're taught as love, biblical love, what it is and what it isn't. It's not prideful. It's not boastful. Doesn't keep a list of grievances. It's patient and it's kind. These are some of the ways that we take things, at least I do, captive to Christ by remembering that which Christ taught us and teaches us. And in a world where people are paid to pretend good is evil and evil is good, where people are paid to switch light and darkness, and where others have fallen into it because they just want the popularity of the crowd, man, it's a skill we need to have, but we shouldn't have to have this skill. This is not a skill that should be necessary, and yet it is because of where the government, which is utterly fallen in our country, it's utterly fallen. The Lord has revealed this to us, and thank you, Lord, for revealing to us just how fallen it is. Because the government has fallen, because we can view this, we can then share with others the degree to which they themselves have fallen into this. A friend of mine went to her yoga clinic, well, where she had practiced yoga for 4 or 5 years, I think. And there's a man who started to go there. He pretends to be a woman. He wears short tights. Or I should say tight tights. He's obviously biologically unchanged, as it were. And he makes a point of, well, in yoga class, you stretch in ways that if you're wearing stretchy pants, you're going to know that's a dude. So Stacy Manning is her name, and she's had to be very careful around this guy. And then one day, this happened.
I noticed that uncannily, he's the only member that seemingly shows up at the studio with a full bladder. And he has to use the ladies' bathroom every single time he comes in. No one else, male or female, seemingly needs to use the bathroom consistently upon arrival. So I've been keeping an eye on him. Now, of course, this studio has the virtue signaling, you're welcome to use whatever bathroom you gender identify. You know the verbiage, right?
Right.
But this particular evening, I'd noted that he was on the premises, and of course he did his ritualistic use the bathroom, also known as testing the waters. And that night, from the shower gap, I saw him come in, and tonight he decided to take off his shirt. Now, of course, he didn't take his pants off because only we women are to be exposed to a man who decides that he wants to take a gander at us. But we didn't have the opportunity to gaze at his penis ourselves. That's not our choice to make.
And it came to pass that Stacy, while taking a shower, closed the shower curtain, stayed behind the shower curtain until that man had left. This was after yoga, until he had left. And she looked around to make sure he was gone, wrapped herself in a towel, came out, and began to undress, or just to take the towel off, to get dressed, to dry off. It turns out the man forgot something. Walked back in and walked right up to her and stared at her naked body. On my podcast at thetoddhermanshow.com, you will hear how Stacy responded. She spoke to him. And then you'll hear what women around her said. As a fellow sister was seen naked against her will. Now, we shouldn't have to have this conversation, but it happens that Stacy was the one who ultimately got punished. So if you want to hear the whole story, go to thetoddhermanshow.com. You can hear the entire story. It also happens that Stacy probably didn't go through this just because she refuses to present that men are women. It may have to do with her career as well. So to continue with her story of being confronted in the locker room naked by a man she didn't want to see her that way, she continues to discuss.
I'm a survivor of rape, and I was molested as a child. And I'm loath to use the wokest language, but you know, my body, my choice is really, really important to me. And I shared my background with the owner of the studio and the manager of the studio, who deigned not to get back to me after she summarily dismissed me without warning, without conversation. And that seemingly fell on deaf ears, because they care about women so much, as you said, that they'll toss the guy out for misbehaving at a restaurant across the street. But my modesty, my desire as a Christian wife to have only my husband gaze at my nude body, that's just pedestrian and really not my choice to make.
So yes, she was dismissed from a yoga clinic at which she'd practiced for 4 to 5 years. There's no comeback. There's no explanation. It doesn't matter. You are the dreaded so-called transphobe. And she explained that, yeah, a guy was rude to a woman in a bar across the street. And the management of B Yoga Burien, this is in Western Washington, they learned that he'd been rude to a woman. So they pulled his membership from their yoga facility. He didn't even do it in their yoga facility. So Stacy was stunned to find out that the yoga facility was pretending that she had signed an agreement.
Oh, I got no response from the owner for a solid 5 days. I'd also asked for some examples, because the manager, Hillary Paris, she accused me of having been spoken to numerous times in the past over my so-called anti-LGBT rhetoric in the studio. Of course, nothing was produced, because nothing exists. Even if I were anti-LGBT, which I most surely am not, I'm against the activism and the nonsense, but I have a heart for people. I'm not known to say unkind things to anyone. While it might sound a little salty or silly, I bring as much salt and light to places as I possibly can, because it's my job as a Christian to look different and not to proselytize in my own style, but to look different enough that I can speak into and pray over people in crazy random places, even in, you know, wokest leftist yoga studios outside of Seattle.
So they'd actually written to her, and I have a copy of the email saying, "You signed an agreement. This goes against the agreement you signed." She signed no agreement saying it's okay for naked men to come and ogle me. So she sought support from fellow women, and we'll talk about that. She also she's not an activist. She happens to be a successful author, and there is the rub. Along with Katie Faust, she is the author of 2 books related to children's rights. The latest one is How to Raise Conservative Kids in a Woke City. It's done very, very well. That comes into play, because I'm not certain that this wasn't not necessarily a setup, but the people at the yoga studio had learned who she is. And I know what that's like. When people learn, oh, you're that guy with the conservative podcast, I can see the change in people. This happened to me this past week. A guy that had been super nice, super friendly to me at the gym, sort of a new guy there. Not yet knew his name, but we'd had some fun talks. One day he came in and absolutely cold, and since then, no eye contact, won't really acknowledge me. And then I saw his car and the bumper strips. Like, okay, got it. Fair enough. Not what I would choose, but what you choose. So Stacy went outside this yoga clinic and decided just to hand some things out to share with people what had been going on inside.
I went and I stood outside of the studio the day after with a copy of my letter and the copy of the email that she'd written me, so that I could hand it out to other yogis, because they should know that they're giving their business and their money and time to a business that discriminates and is very intolerant and not inclusive in any way, and puts women's safety at risk. It's funny. She told me, "You're not helping yourself.
You're not helping yourself by disclosing how we treat women." Well, I think she was helping herself. No one wanted to help her when Stacey Manning was ogled by a man who was in the yoga studio pretending to be a woman, fully intact biological man. And to my way of thinking, wanted to look at her, had it as his goal to look at her. And there's a condition called autogynephilia. It is a legitimate psychological condition. It's men who are sexually aroused by believing people think they're women, or worse, forcing people to pretend they're women. It's a real psychological condition. And by the way, it tends to commingle with violence. So Stacey thought that she would get support from fellow women who actually witnessed this happen.
After being ogled and he left, I stammered, I sputtered, really. That is a man. Because I was very upset, Todd.
Yeah.
And these are words you cannot say. Saloon doors swung, the room went silent, and about the 10 other fully nude women in various stages of undress, one said quietly, "Well, perhaps he identifies as a woman." And I said, "I identify him as a man because he has a penis." And so then one of those ladies, because she's been so conditioned that we are to subject ourselves to the desires of men, because a man says he wants something, well, he's going to get it, regardless of what it costs women. She went and tattled on me, a grown woman in her late 50s, took it upon herself to report me to the principal.
Remember that in this broken world that is run by the Prince of the Air, remember that people spiritually fallen, spiritually captured at organizations like Teen Vogue, write articles telling teen girls that if your boyfriend wants you to undertake a sex act that hurts, a sex act that is not the way God designed sex, and it hurts you, well, try more lubrication. Because your boyfriend likes it, and you should learn to like it. So it's not just on the so-called lie of, or the lie of so-called transgenderism. It's on that topic as well. But it's Stacey's career path that seems to have been the genesis of this. She has internal documents she showed me that appear to be from the yoga studio. And in those documents, she learned that the yoga practitioners, or at least the management, knows who she is, what she does for a living. She's a conservative Christian author.
Well, I did get a screenshot of what I believe is political and professional discrimination at the root of being dismissed without warning. I mean, it's a little odd, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, one of the other members, who I know to be a DEI professional. She had spoken to me a couple of weeks prior after having read my book. Now, she went through my book. She had a annotation key that was like, wow. You know, red was WTF and yellow was chat. I mean, she tore it apart. But she really wanted to talk to me after she finished the book. And she was going to finish it. And that when we spoke, she wanted me to see her face so that I knew it was coming from a place of love. Well, that conversation never happened. Mm-hmm. Instead, she decided to do exactly what we prescribe you don't do in the book, which is attack ideas and not people. She went ahead with the attack people, not ideas approach, as the wokest are most inclined to do, and wrote a very negative review, which Hillary shared as apparently evidence of more of what a horrible person I am and don't belong practicing yoga at the local studio.
Hillary, she mentioned, being apparently the manager of this place, the manager who withdrew her ability to go there for these very reasons. Now, it happens that Stacey is successful at raising conservative kids in a woke city. Listen to how her son handled a circumstance so common on the fallen West Coast.
He's still in the thick of it. He's only in fifth grade. And he walked into his classroom a couple of months ago, and he observed that at the front of the classroom, there was a man in a dress wearing lady face. And he turned around and he walked out. He's 11 years old.
Yeah.
He went and found his principal, and because I've made a lot of investments with that school and that staff, he said, "Mom, my mom wouldn't want me at school today." And she knew that was true, and she agreed, and he got the day off. These are the kind of principals that get your 11-year-old to walk out of school so that he is not unwittingly exposed to some autogynephiliac dude getting off on...
On pretending to be a woman. And Stacey Manning is her name. Her latest book is Raising Conservative Kids in a Woke City. And she spoke with me on my podcast. You can hear the whole thing at thetoddhermanshow.com. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling, where we show how God has, he invented senseless humors. So, of course, his is the best. We got some great responses to a question I asked just today, really just wrestling with God. And I think I know where my heart leans. It's Romans 13. I don't want to follow my heart. My heart is flawed. We've made so many bad decisions by following our heart. I want to follow the word of God. And I was just exploring yesterday the idea on this program, Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, by the way. Thank you for that. I was just exploring, as much as our government lies to us and hides our information from us and is in acting, treating us as if we are not just insurrectionists, but we're an insurgency. Christian Americans are an insurgency, and they use the tools of anti-insurgency tactics, literally through military funding, literally through the Pentagon and DARPA, to come after us. Will we reach a point where it is morally okay for us to, in an effort to find out who's giving these orders, who's doing this to us, would it be okay for us to employ hackers to go get this? Now, that sounds like stealing to me. And I know that we cannot fight for heaven using the tools of hell. But when I think about, say, what's pending in the COVID response, they're not done pushing these modified RNA injections. Other countries are done. Poland is done. Pfizer's suing Poland because Pfizer wants their money for injections but Poland refuses to use because they've seen what it's done. There are countries that are flat waking up. The UK has gone from no members of parliament coming to hear about the effects of the injections and the record high all-cause mortality to the authorities in Britain trying to make it difficult for legislators to get into these meetings. They actually changed the size of the room. They moved the room because a lot of members of parliament wanted now to hear this because they saw this presentation that a guy named Andrew Briggan gave, who's a member of parliament. They wanted to go hear Dr. McCullough speak and others who are talking about this is what these injections have done. So when we have a government that's hiding that, hiding what they know about the injections and who knew what, and therefore what they're going to continue to do, and it's our information. I wondered if we'd ever reach a point where it'd be okay for us to go get it. And I think that Mike Lazo, listener to Disciples View, answered this so, so well. Mike, this is such a great comment. Hello, you asked for feedback on your comment in December 6th, 2023 Disciples View show, discussion of Romans 13. In a nutshell, I heard your issue as recognizing Romans 13 and honoring governments which are put in place by God, but wondering if that prohibits citizens from finding ways to get information from that government, which the government hides or will not voluntarily reveal. My thought is that, as you know, Romans 13 was written at a time when the government, Nero, was a lot worse towards Christians than this one is. Yet there was no real rebellion or circumvention of that government. In fact, Christians paid taxes and were law-abiding, only would not deny Christ or state that Caesar was a god. The price for that was extreme, as we know. But from God's view, the reward was great, and Christianity boomed. My instinct is to do what they did. Pray. Be law-abiding. Nothing wrong with asserting our rights to courts or information, acts, etc. But much wrong, in my judgment, to use means other than that. I think a hack or something similar is very short-term, and it could lose credibility for a Christian who now seems to justify not following rules. I'm using shorthand terms for this when it suits them. Far better, in my view, to trust God in his timing and methods, which I do not claim to understand, but do claim to believe will protect his church in his name and his timing. I anticipate you'd agree with me generally, but maybe better to find your questions about the morality of getting government info in a way that I may be too conclusory in dismissing. There certainly may be a nuance that I'm missing. I'm open to that, and difficult questions are often nuanced. But that is one listener's perspective, and I thank you for the forum, Mike Lazo. Mike, what a beautiful note. What a beautiful, beautiful way to defend God's word. And I so thank you for that. That's how I am landing on seeing this. We are best off, I think, with a strict interpretation of what God says. And obviously, we're best off totally trusting God and his method and his timing, which will always be perfect. And the nuance, if there is one, Mike, is that there are pending decisions from this government, particularly in relation to what they're doing with these shots and our food supply and the seizing of food supplies, that these are decisions that are going to come down. And if we could prevent that by getting access to their plans, well, could we do that? But then we're having a discussion of, hey, if you could go back in time, would you kill Hitler? It's all guessing. So I will pray. Well, I'll pray right now. Let me take off my hat. Father God, I trust you. Where I don't trust, help me trust. Dear Father God, my flesh wants to deny Romans 13 in this case. I'm so frustrated with this government. I'm so frustrated. Help me trust your plan. Help me follow Romans 13 gleefully. Help me find joy in doing what's right in your eyes without regard to this government that is so of the world, not just in it. I ask you for this and ask you to give me just some of the abilities that the great, great people of faith that you write about in your inspired work in the Bible, in the Hebrews, chapter of the Hebrews with the Hall of Faith. Please help me listen more to the Holy Spirit than my flesh. I ask you this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Great note. On this program, we do something else in relation to God. We thank him for taking the supposedly wise and placing them on tall towers of shaking sand in our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
One of the government secrets I'd like to have is I'd like to know why this government has made the decision to fund both sides of the war between Israel and Iran. I'd like to know who in our government has made the decision to give Iran money to buy drones to shoot at us. Now, we didn't technically give them the money to do that, but it's quite clear. They told us what they're going to do with the money. They told us it's our money. We're going to do with it as we please. One of the things that pleases them to do is to try to destroy all Jewish people, and then we're next. They come after us. So in the first of three clips in today's Tower of Babbling, the Sky News anchor talking with a spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Fund.
Just wanted to ask you very quickly about that digital map. You're telling people where is going to be targeted next. People don't have power to power up their mobile phones. They haven't got Wi-Fi.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you and all of your viewers saw our hostages being paraded through the streets as they were released to Israel over those 7 nights, and hundreds of Gazans holding their phones, videoing them. So clearly there's enough power to power their phones when they're parading our hostages throughout Gaza. Now that same power to their phones will be to get the maps, download the maps, look at the flyers, and don't forget, we're not only
Major Spielman, I'm so sorry, we are out of time, but we appreciate your comments this evening.
We are out of time, and maybe they were out of time. Remember, of course, that Hamas, when they received pipes from World Relief Organizations so that they could build, you know, water facilities to bring fresh drinking water to Gazans, they instead turned the pipes into missiles. Well, not missiles, but into missile launchers. Just as they will direct the power to do what they want them to do it with. Now, electrical power. That's a big topic. Electrical power is a great big topic. It happens that at the same time as John Kerry is saying what he's about to say in clip number 2 of today's Tower of Babbling, there's something going on the fallen West Coast that just doubles down on this.
Well, there shouldn't be any more coal-fired power plants permitted anywhere in the world. That's how you can do something for health.
Okay, so coal plants, which power about 60% of electric car charging stations, shouldn't be permitted anywhere in the world, and all new cars should have to be electric. Well, and then there's this. The people who run Joe Biden are considering breaching Washington's Snake River dams. These dams provide hydropower to, well, not just Western Washington, but parts of California. They're going to breach them to save salmon, to aid in transportation, navigation, economic needs of the region. That's not going to aid in the economic needs of the region. That region is a farming region. The dams have helped to make those farms viable by bringing water. Oh, and by the way, there's all sorts of methods they've used very, very successfully to help the salmon navigate that. And that's been well known in Western Washington for, well, 5 decades. And the technology to help the fish has just gotten better. It's almost like they're trying to break the electrical grid. Why would they do that? I mean, that could really divide a country. Speaking of dividing countries, the last clip in today's Tower of Babbling, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
We're seeing and beginning to pay attention and to count and record the deaths that are related to climate, and by far the biggest killer is extreme heat. I mean, even in Europe last summer, which has the ability to count and figure out what happened, they recorded 61,000 deaths because of the heat in Europe. We don't have that kind of number yet from Africa, Asia, Latin America, but we know and estimate that we probably could measure about 500,000 deaths. And the majority of those are women and girls, and particularly pregnant women.
Pregnant women, she says. Wow, well, wouldn't want the babies to be killed, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Right? And in Europe, gosh, if only there was a way to power a cooling system. I'm just thinking of something that, I don't know, it could condition the air. And it's insane, but I mean, really, if there was a way to, let's say, remove the hot air and replace it with cool, I don't know. I'm just getting myself in trouble. I've got the Biden brain. Nothing like that could ever happen. I mean, this is not Star Trek. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Thank you so much for leaving it there. On a personal observation, just kind of to wrap the show, I'd like to share a bit of who I am, because you're so kind to spend all this time with me, that you should know a little bit about the Rodeo Clown who does the hosting. I've just been so, so gifted by not just serving in youth ministry, and because that is a gift. What a privilege to work with these young men. And we're blessed with our particular group of young men, most of them have been in youth group for 7, maybe even 8 years. So they know the ropes and knew it better than I did. In fact, they helped me when I went to summer camp for the first time this year as a group leader. They helped me learn how to do it. So thankful for them. But I've also noticed this. There is a clarity to the teaching employed by the youth pastors. It's almost like I'm getting the youth education in Christ that I never got. They recently spoke about biblical manhood and womanhood and how each is a reflection of God, God's many sides. In this case, the reflection of what he wants to see in himself in men and women. And for men, it's to fight for relationships. Well, first of all, it's to cultivate, to work. We're told that in Genesis, to cultivate, work, to fight for relationships, and then to lead and to stand for those who can't stand. And as I listened to that description of biblical manhood, flashing through my mind is every man I respect, save none. Every man I respect embodies those characteristics. And when they did a presentation with the male pastor leading and a female staff member teaching as well, but not leading, they talked about biblical womanhood. And that is to be a helper. That word, helper, it's the same word God applies to himself. Women are not less equal than men. It's the same word that God applies for himself as a helper. That they too are to be relational. But there's something else, and that is beauty. I really do believe that the female form is far more beautiful than the male form in every possible capacity. And that women, given that to steward and to caretake, give man something that man can never have. Man can never have physical beauty. And the two pieces fit together so well. Why wouldn't they? Because it's God's design. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until you and I speak again using the words God gave us, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.